tremendous joy to be gathered here this morning. I greet you all in the name of Jesus. It's a blessing to ponder the thoughts that have come. Already this morning, we greet you all in the name of Jesus. We thank you for joining us here in worship, pondering the things that have come. Thank you, Andy, for giving that update. The question that came to me is, how appreciative am I for everything that has been given to me? To ponder those things in my heart. Thank you, Brother John, for sharing those thoughts with us. How important is it to be grounded in the Word of God? God's offerings are legitimate. We know that. Satan's are false. He's a liar. He's the father of it. Realistically, what has he to offer? And fear has torment. So let's not live in fear, let's live by faith. Can we rise for a word of prayer? Just feel like to commit this into the Lord's hand here. Father, we are very grateful to be here again this morning. Your grace is sufficient. Your word is from everlasting to everlasting. Father, help us to partake of it this morning again and apply it to these to our lives, that we truly might be a fruitful people, zealous of good works and going about your business and being a faithful servant in your kingdom, wherever that may be. Father, that the light would truly shine and the glorious gospel would truly be revealed and manifested in each one of us as individuals and yet corporately together as a body of Christ here in a local congregation. Father, that the bride of Christ would not be tainted or marred in any way, that we would not hinder the gospel from being not only preached but being exemplified. Father, in our age, in this generation of time that you've placed us in, that we may be a faithful witness, that we truly might be the salt and light to the world around us, O God, that would cause your name to be glorified and uplifted. This is ultimately what you want. You desire a people from ages past that would lift up the name of God and live for you in every manner of life. And Father, so we want to be that people. Continue to do a work in our own hearts. We're needy people here, and we just open ourselves up to you in a beautiful way this morning. Thank you for speaking to us already. You truly are faithful. You're the Spirit of God witnessing to our hearts here. Father, we thank you for that. We just pray that you would have complete control for the rest of this service, as you have thus far. We pray that you have preeminence in our hearts and our lives, that we truly may be brought to an eternal end with you, O God. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. There were a couple different I think I can say messages that was laid on that I felt the Lord tugging at my heart, and some of those came out of a personal need, but I didn't feel a clearing. Yesterday afternoon or evening to do that. And so we're going to have what probably more in the line of a Bible study. Except in a Bible study, often there's discussion. You know, there's back and forth, and so this will be maybe a more of a one-sided Bible study. But I would really value your input in some of these thoughts. And whether it's the end or if there's opportunity given or maybe afterwards at a personal level later, you can do that. I'd invite that. You can turn to Matthew 12. We're going to be reading out of there. You can turn there in the meantime. It's a subject that probably has been spoken about a lot, and maybe some of you have shared it or talked about it. But it's good, as the Scripture teaches us, to bring things into remembrance again. Words. And the title that I would have given to this Bible study, message, / is The Power of God Displayed in Words, specifically coming from our lives. The power, what kind of power of God can be displayed by our words that we use and speak in everyday language? The average person says a lot of words in a day, year, lifetime. Now we know that some people talk more than others. It's just that way. And I'm not sure where I fit in that spectrum. Talk more than others. So the source I got some of this information that I'm going to read is said average. So even that can vary. So taking all that, these numbers could fluctuate, but I think there's a point that I want to bring out in saying this. We'll be able to get the picture. Words. The average person speaks at somewhere between 125 to 150 words a minute. It's always better to speak more slowly than quickly. Thus, if you're speaking for 20 minutes, you want a total word count of about 2,500 words. So in a lifetime, what does this look like? Now these are a couple different sources that I got this, so they might, if you do the math, it might not coincide, so don't worry about that. We're going to use these numbers as a reference, okay? So in a lifetime, this source has that you would speak, and I'm not sure, this is probably based on an average lifespan, I'm guessing. It didn't say that. But in a lifetime, we would say 860 million words. Now, what does that mean? I mean, how many words is that? You know, we ask the question, what's the reference? I mean, how can we understand those kind of numbers? Here's one way to put it. That would mean that the average person would speak the equivalent of the King James Bible, Old and New Testament, more than 1,110 times. That's a lot of words. It's a lot of words. And I'll throw this in the mix. If we say that many words, how many words per minute can we think? This one points out, as humans, we process, if somebody's speaking to us, we process between 125 to 250 words per minute as they are being communicated to us. But when we think, we form thoughts over 10 times that fast. So we're at 1,000 to 3,000 words per minute. This is my thought. This is probably why we sometimes are challenged to put our thoughts into words. But our minds can just go and go. We've experienced those things. They can go 100 miles an hour. They can go from hither to yon in a short time. So someone comes up to you and asks, what are you thinking? You're just sitting there. You're not saying anything. What are you thinking? And your mind is just spinning. And your response is, you have to stop. What was I really thinking? Well, I don't know what I was thinking. So you were thinking something, but you can't really put a finger on it because your mind was just everywhere. The capabilities of the mind. It's amazing. Words. How many words do you say in a day? You know, and in those words, as we think in the far past, and maybe in the not so far past, and maybe even fairly recently, what those words coming out of my life, coming out of my mouth, consisted of, and to think that I will give an account for them. As we have in Matthew 12, verses 36 and 37. But I say unto you, that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. So it's very important not only to think good thoughts, pure thoughts, but it's also very important what's coming out of our mouth. The words that are formed. We can think a lot of thoughts in a short time. But we are called by the Word of God to take every thought captive and bring it to obedience. The Word of God teaches us to think on things above, things that are true, things that are honest, just, pure, lovely, and good report. Virtue/praise, Philippians 4:8. We are to cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bring it into captivity. Every thought to the obedience of Christ. You find that in 2 Corinthians 10:5. Words. There's so much power in words. They are able to do many things. They're able to bless. We're able to encourage. We're able to strengthen. We're able to motivate. We're able to discourage and curse and weaken. We're able to stir up the mind with words. Another thing that plays in here is how we say words. What kind of tone of voice we use. What kind of body language you use when we say our words. How emphatic we are when we say something. Our posture and attitude of heart. We can say the same thing multiple different ways. With multiple different meanings. We can say it nicely. Or we can say it with a little heat. When we say it with some heat, most generally, our posture of heart isn't right in the matter. And we really display our feelings, which is okay. We just need to respond rightly then in accordance to it. But too often we justify ourselves in the matter and we respond thus because he said or he did or whatever else is in there. And we justify ourselves by our response to the matter. But they come out as words. In our minds, we usually have a justifiable cause. And I would just say, let us be careful. I would just say on being emphatic, sometimes, and I do it, I have done it. Sometimes it's okay, maybe, probably. But not everything you say needs to have that type of strength put to it. Bible says, let our nay be nay and yea be yea. Whatsoever is more than this cometh of evil, I think it says. I think we can apply this even in how or what we say. Is it peaceable? the question we could ask. Will it bring forth fruit, or will the wedge go down a little bit further? Every idle word, we will give it an account. The power of God displayed in our words. We are to control our thoughts, and by all means our speech, in James, in which we'll get to that later. But let's read here Matthew 12, verse 22 to 37, and I want us to notice the thoughts and the words in this. I mean, you can pick out a lot of different places in Scripture that would have the same connotation, but this is where I was reading, this is where we're at here this morning. So in Matthew 12, we're going to start reading verse 22. I'll just read through to 37, and then we might go back and look at a few verses here. Verse 22, then was brought unto him one possessed with the devil. Now, maybe I should back up a little further here. In chapter 11, we had that account where Aaron shared last Sunday, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden. Then, starting in chapter 12 there, he was in the Sabbath day, he was walking through the corn, and his disciples were hungry and began to pluck the ears. Pharisees saw that and kind of approached him about those things. Then not only that, on the Sabbath day, he also healed a man's hand. Said, how much then is a man better than a sheep? You wouldn't leave your sheep in a pit when he fell down on the Sabbath day. You would lift them out. And a man is a lot better than a sheep. Wherefore, it's... The next sentence is a statement. Wherefore, it is lawful to do well on Sabbath days. Stretch forth thy hand and restore it. And then, 14, the Pharisees went out and held a council against him, how they might destroy him. And at that time, I believe the posture of their heart was in such a wrong place that it blinded them from thinking rationally. And then we have something that he's drawn from Isaiah, verses 15 through 21 then. And his name shall the Gentiles trust. And in this context, then was brought unto him one possessed with a devil, blind and dumb, and he healed him, insomuch that the blind and dumb both spake and saw. And all the people were amazed and said, is not this the son of David? But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. And Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand? And if I, by Beelzebub, cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore, they shall be your judges. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. Or else, how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house? He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. Wherefore, I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. Either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruit. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, bringeth forth good things, and an evil man, out of the evil treasures, bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you, that every idle word that man shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. For by the words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. So we have here the Pharisees discounting the workings of Christ And it's a very dangerous thing, as Christ here speaks about, that it's a very dangerous thing that we speak against the Holy Ghost and His workings in someone's life. They're accusing Him to be the prince of the devils. And He's casting out His own. And Jesus is calling them to think on this. How is this going to be? The prince of the devils casting out His own, so that kingdom won't stand. He's like telling them, okay, so if you're right, I mean, there's nothing to me. About your accusations. But in verse 28, said, but if I'm right, then the kingdom of God has come unto you, and you have to, you'll be held responsible. But if I cast devils by the Spirit of God, and I think in Luke it says, if by the finger of God, I think is what he says there, if by the finger of God cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God has come nigh unto you. And we know that in every aspect of life, if there is a dividedness, we know that that won't stand. Whether it's division between husband and wife, whether there's division in the family, whether there's division in a brotherhood, whether there's division in a workplace, or a kingdom / country. We know the outcome of that. When a kingdom is divided against itself, it will come to nothing. It will be destroyed. We see the effects in Haiti. There's a divided opinion there. And that's what you have. You have probably no two parties that agree with each other. I don't know what all the situation is there, but it's in a chaos. And that's what you have when you have something that's divided. Jesus is saying every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. And every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. He's begging those Pharisees to think what you're saying. You're saying that these things only God can do, but yet you're saying they come from Beelzebub. So they're thinking. Remember what we were saying about thoughts and words. If we discount the Spirit of God's working in an individual, we must be careful. We can be so judgmental at times, you know. Spite and hatred can drive us to a point where it blinds our discernment and understanding in the matter, to a point that we respond so rashly as we wouldn't respond in normal circumstances. The attitude of, who do you think you are? Or, you're not telling me what to do, you know, with all the things in your life. The list goes on in the responses that we can think up and come to. And if something comes to us, somebody speaks to us, if someone tries to help us, I know what goes on inside here. But we rationalize and we justify and the list goes on the ways and the reasons why we are not able to receive and reason rashly as these Pharisees. By their response, we see that they were blinded. We think that if they just stopped and thought it through, they could have seen that this was their Messiah. You know, we think those thoughts. Couldn't they just see? But there was times in my life that I was blinded, so I can't be too hard on them in those ways. But we know that they hated Him so much so that there were times when they gnashed at Him with their teeth. I've seen somebody seething angry to a point where he was shaken, but never to a point where his teeth chattered. And we have accounts of that happening towards Jesus, that they were so upset with him that they gnashed at him with their teeth. I can't imagine, you know, somebody getting so angry that their teeth would chatter, and I'm not sure how that all was. They wanted, you know, away with him. At that point, that person is completely out of his mind and can't think straight. And we know in that condition, anything can happen. At that point, that individual is uncontrolled. There's words are flowing. Things are being said. The whole body language is just permeating with this anger and hatred. That there's just no control. There's no stopping. There's no, there's a word I'm looking for, that you just don't know what's going to come out next. At that point, it's not mattering. He's uncontrollable. He's just spewing. If we find ourselves going down that road, and I trust we never make it down that far, but anger is anger, you know, using that for an example. If we find ourselves going down that road, I would just say, you know, repent thoroughly. No good comes from it. God has given us the power and grace to display His glory in this earthly tabernacle. Praise His name. God is so good to us when He allows our hearts to be displayed in this way. We say, oh, you know, try to hide it. We shouldn't have said that. But no, that's God's mercy. If we respond to it correctly, He gives us an opportunity to repent. Those things come out. Oh, that's in my heart. Then we have opportunity to deal with it. He allows our hearts to be displayed in this way. He gives opportunity for us to repent. Please let not bitterness and hatred and unloving stay in our hearts. May we be able to have the grace to deal with it if it's there. The thing about I don't love him or her, I don't really love him. I can't really say that I love him, but I don't really hate him. I don't think that we can stand on those terms. I don't love him, so I must hate him. Well, I don't really hate him. Well, I don't. Either I do one or the other. If we are challenged with these things, may we have enough of the Spirit of God in us to take a look at it really seriously, to have the power of God displayed in our words. And it says here, in verse 34, a generation of vipers, lest I forget, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. And I would just say with that context, that out of the abundance of the heart, the life liveth. So it's not just that I don't say the words. It's our whole posture of heart that is breathed out in our life. So let's not excuse ourselves from not saying the words, you know, but we're thinking it. We're accountable to that too. And yes, sometimes it's better, some would ask, is it better to not say it when you're thinking it? And that's probably better, but it still doesn't take care of the situation. I think you still, in your own heart, in your own time, repent of if there's evil thoughts, you know, in that context. That makes sense. So, but here, for the sake of this morning, the power of God displayed in our words. This heart life thing is pretty revealing. I have to think of a man I talked with a few years ago, you know, by appearance, he looked pretty conservative. Actually, more than we, if I can use that term. But as we get to talking, there are more and more things that we disagree upon in accordance to the Word of God. Not saying that we have everything just right. But if we don't believe right, some things, or a lot, or maybe a lot of things, other things in our lives will be amiss, as was the case in this situation. He had his dress right, so to speak, but his family wasn't together, I found out later, and his wife wasn't in her place in the home, and they didn't practice wearing the headship veiling. So we can be so focused on the outward that our inward things still spew out and have its effect on people around us, on ourselves. They still bring the fruit. We can have our clothes just right, but if inside this stuff is spewing out in words and in life, then we might as well not. Well, I don't know. Might as well not dress right. What is truly in our hearts will bring forth fruit. It'll come out in words. It'll come out in deeds. The words that come forth, the life that we live, are coming forth of what is in our hearts. Let us not deceive ourselves. As we heard this morning, appreciate you bringing that to our attention. And that's how I had it written down. Let us not deceive ourselves. What is coming out? I would like to have I'm going to bring a picture of water up here in a pan and a glass. And this abundance thing here in verse 34 gives a picture of superabundance. And when we think of superabundance, it's an overflowing. It's what's left over after the thing is filled. It's what continues to come out of what's inside. So if honesty is coming out, then we can conclude that there's honesty within. If there's truth coming out, we can conclude that there's truth within. And so on. Godliness, blessings. If an individual is, you just see his life, he's just a continual blessing. You know, he's blessed inside. And the opposite is true too. If there's hate, if there's just a hate coming out, if there's lying, if there's cheating, those things are just coming out from what's inside. And so we can take a personal evaluation. God has given us the ability to think and for things to register in our minds. He's given us amazing pieces of equipment on top of our shoulders that we can observe our own life in that way. And if it has to come that some people have to tell us that we can't see ourselves, then that's a blessing too. That's the beauty of a brotherhood. You know, iron sharpeneth iron. We can only be made the better if we allow ourselves to be able to receive from others. And that's, I believe, how God ordained His church to be. A display to the world the many-folded wisdom of God. But a tree is known by its fruit. We know those verses. The bark, the branches, the leaves can be oh so nice. But Jesus is looking for something more than bark, limbs, and trees, or leaves. He's looking for fruit. Something that's good. Something that bears life. You know that account with the fig tree. You know, it had leaves. They looked beautiful, I imagine. But that's not what Jesus was looking for. He parted the leaves. You know what's underneath? He's looking for fruit. We can have the outside oh so nice. But what happens when Jesus looks inside? When he found it barren, he cursed it. There are blessings in words. And there are cursings in words. And we will be held accountable. Every other word. Justified or condemned. I have some quotes here. Some longer quotes actually. That pertain to some of these verses that we just read. A quote and paraphrase of a verse I don't even have it written down, but it's the latter part of the 33 on. You are to judge of man's being in league with Satan by his works. If my doctrines and works be properly the works of Satan, then I am corrupt. If not, then your charge is blasphemy. So on the other hand, if, notwithstanding your professions, your works are the works of the devil, and your doctrines are such as he would teach, it would prove respecting you that which you charge on me. In this indirect but powerful manner, he advances to the charge against them. So, he's just turning that thing back around, and what you're charging me is actually against you. In short. This is on Matthew 12:33. One writer writes this way. Man's language discovers what country they are of. Likewise, what manner of spirit they are of. The heart is the fountain. The words are the streams. A troubled fountain and a corrupt spring must send forth muddy and unpleasant streams. Nothing but the salt of grace cast into the spring will heal the waters, season the speech, and purify the corrupt communication. An evil man has an evil treasure in his heart, and out of it brings forth evil things. Lust and corruptions dwelling and reigning in the heart are an evil treasure out of which the sinner brings forth bad works and actions to dishonor God and hurt others. Let us keep constant watch over ourselves that we may speak words agreeable to the Christian character. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. James 3. Let's turn to James. I said we're going to James here. James 3. We know those verses on the tongue, you know, that chapter. Heard about it a lot. Let's read it. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that ye shall receive the greater condemnation. For many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. I was going to read it all, but let's back up a little. I don't think I am. You can read it. You know those verses. But in verse 1, my brethren, he's addressing brethren. He's addressing people that he's probably going to church with, that he's closer, a lot closer to anyway. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. We are responsible to this. We are accountable to this at a greater level, probably, as we know the Word of God, as we heard the Word of God, as we hear the good things, the gospel of Jesus Christ. we shall receive the greater judgment. For in many things we offend all. And it's interesting, James, the verbiage that he uses, he includes himself in it. And we can all think that James probably didn't even do this, but it's like some people, when they're talking to someone, they include themselves in it. And I think this is what James is doing. For many things we offend all. We stumble, we fall, we trip, we fail. You know, in many things, we're all responsible. We'll all have done it. But there's an if. If any man offend not in word, that means if any man doesn't trip up or stumble or sin or fall in word, the same is a perfect man and able also to bridle the whole body. That same individual that is able to control his tongue, that same individual, picture a big ship, and he gives the illustration of a horse and a ship. You know, some of you are you're farmers and you farm with horses, and so these big Belgian horses, you know, you're in the backside of them, and maybe sometimes you had a team of, I don't know, five or six, I don't know how many you put on a disc or whatever, but you had them all at your command. They could have tore down that field and ripped things apart. They had the power to do that. But you had them. They had them in control with the bridle, with their bits in the horse's mouth, so they could turn them whichever. So likewise, the rudder on a ship. If that ship doesn't have a rudder, he's out of control. Same way with a horse that doesn't have a bit in its mouth. You have a hard time controlling that horse without a bit in its mouth. And it's a pretty dangerous thing to be going down the road without a bit in a horse's mouth. Believe me, I was on the backside of it one time. And there's just not a whole lot you can do. But if a man is able to control his tongue in word, he's a man that's fully instructed in divine things. That's the meaning of the word there. That's what you get out of it. He's fully instructed in divine things. He's a mature man. The tongue is a little member. It's one of the smallest members of our body. But it boasts great things. But if we can keep that thing in check, the Bible calls us a perfect man. Mark 7:14-16. And when he had called all the people unto him, he said unto them, hearken unto me, every one of you, and understand. There is nothing from without a man that entering into him can defile him. But the things which come out of him, those are they that defile the man. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. We could go on to James, the end of James there, where it talks about true wisdom comes from God. Who is the wise man endued in knowledge among you? Let him show out of the good conversation his life, his works, with meekness and wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. The wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, it's animal-like and devilish, sensual and devilish. For where envy and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above, and you can take personal evaluation here, each of us, but too often, maybe I'm the only one here. Too often we put somebody else on the wall and we put yourself on the wall and, you know, do this thing. But he's this and I'm this. He's that and I'm that. I would say let's clear the fog here this morning of those things, and take the Word of God to us as individuals, individually. How do we stand before God, and not necessarily before our brothers? Sometimes this measuring thing, and I don't know, but like I said, maybe I'm the only one here that is weak in this area. But this is wisdom from above. It's first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. We can't by ourselves control our tongue. What is inside comes out. But if we are filled and continue to be filled, Jesus Christ within us makes all the difference. Only by this, only by the Spirit of God within us, have we the capabilities, have we the enablement to display the power of God in words. By our words, people can see what is in us. By what comes out of our mouth, we are able to understand what is really in my heart. In that high pressure moment when we spill the beans, it can be a great revealer. But when that happens, let us thank God and respond appropriately. Repenting, making wrongs right, restitution, and find the grace and the power of God to reconcile or whatever the situation is, so that each one of us may be able to display the power of God in word. I think in closing here, I think I'll stop at that. Just read these few verses here in closing. Psalm 119, 101. This is in the context of God's Word. Now these verses are in the context of God's Word. God's Word is pure and it feeds. And we take this principle to heart, in that we have the same attitude of heart, that as we say words, we're able to be a blessing and feed and instruct. There's a rebuke that can be instructive also, so I don't want to discount that. But let's be careful with our attitudes and posture of heart in that. So we have these few verses here, four verses, then I'll just read our text again. Psalm 119, 101, I have refrained my feet from every evil way that I might keep thy word. Psalm 119, 160. Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. Proverbs 30, verse 5. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Matthew 4, verse 4. But he that answereth and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Jesus says, But I say unto you, that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, by thy words thou shalt be condemned.